Hi, this is Ed Burns, site editor for Search Business Analytics, and I'm here with my usual partner, Jack Vaughn, from Search Data Management for the Talking Data podcast. Jack, I know that you have recently been out and about covering some different conferences. One of the ones you were recently at was NoSQL Now, and I'm always interested to hear about the latest developments in the world of NoSQL, that fast innovating, always interesting world there. So why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the things you saw at the show?
Yeah, well, I saw a lot, and things that weren't NoSQL necessarily too. What I would say was that, as we've said before, NoSQL came out of these web companies like Google and Facebook and DoubleClick, and where they found that the conventional SQL databases were not meeting their need to scale up as they got more and more users coming in over the web. And so a whole bunch of, a lot of that stuff was open sourced, and you can think of MongoDB and Couchbase and Neo Technology and DataStax and Bash. Oh, there's so many companies in the NoSQL space that it can be tough to kind of cut through it all. The conference covered that, but I was sort of there on assignment for our e-zine here, which is business information e-zine, and it asked people what was the biggest challenge. People on the street, as we say these days, what was their biggest challenge with NoSQL? And it turned out to be pretty interesting. They had issues with meeting SLAs, with doing queries against them. People told me that you really needed some pretty talented people to get the advertised speed out of these speedy systems. So, you know, it was a bit of an enterprise crowd, a little bit different perhaps in that sense than the web wonder kid crowd. You know, we in our coverage, we hope to continue to come along those lines. And so there were other parts to the show. There was a subsidiary or complementary show called Smart Data. And it was interesting because it brought together a lot of the knowledge management and cognitive computing threads that have been going through for many years, but seem to have at their heart a lot of data and analytics going on. The most obvious one for quite a while has been IBM Watson, but I did get a chance to see that there's quite a few players in that area doing interesting things. One was a company called France Inc., and it's, hate to say interesting too many times, but it's interesting because it really does, it goes back to the artificial intelligence days when Lisp was the hot new language. They've been at it, and what they had a user discussing at the show, which was something they called a semantic data lake. The user was Parsa Mirhaji, and he's with Montefiore Health Systems. This is a fairly big project. It involves software not just from France, but from Intel and Cloudera. And basically, there's a lot of dimensions to building a semantic data lake. And one of the big things they try to do is to ascertain what the data is about at the source as it comes in. And we hear that more and more, that people with these data lakes have to go through it later to try and figure out what the data really is about. If it may have no metadata explaining it, that it can really be more trouble than it's worth. In that same vein, there was a company, Metafax, which built a knowledge graph application, and the British Museum used it to do some pretty high-style content management.
I just wanted to go back for a second to something you said earlier. It sounded like you mentioned at the NoSQL Now conference there were a lot of enterprise-level users, and that it wasn't just all the you know, high-powered tech companies that we normally think of as being the early adopters of NoSQL technology. I just wondered if you had any more perspective on how the more enterprise-level organizations are adopting this technology and whether or not it's something that they're able to get some kind of real value out of.
Well, the systems are running, NoSQL database systems underlie the great gathering of data that's coming off of the web as a result of web commerce. It just simply becomes a question of, if you are an enterprise, how many developers do you devote to these issues? Do you have one for 20 NoSQL databases? Probably not. You probably try to come up with a corporate standard to narrow it down. People give credit to the developers for getting work done, because the data management team sometimes has been known as a just don't do it, you know, just say no. But the developers are getting things done, but over and over again, the enterprise data management people are saying, well, why didn't you use a classic address field for the name? Because all that information we've been gathering is not any use.
And so I know you were also recently out at the Boston meeting of TDWI. They always have some pretty good content. So why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the things that you heard at that gathering?
At the Boston chapter meeting of TDWI, we had as a guest Mark Madsen. He is a longtime hand in the BI business, and he now leads a consultancy, Third Nature Incorporated. He had a lot to say about data today and how some of our notions may be outdated. Everything we've been doing, he said, is an outgrowth of the old mainframe reporting mentality still, particularly with the influx of web data. It calls for data warehouse folks, business intelligence folks, to start to work more with developers, ones who are working with middleware and APIs, because there's so much movement of data into the organization or onto the cloud for use by the organization. Madsen said, in terms of Spark and Hadoop, that really it's about augmenting capabilities that companies already have. Things don't necessarily go away, but there is a significant change in the architecture in that now with Hadoop, with Spark, the new architectures are about executing the code where the data is actually stored. He said this is really a different model of processing. It leads you to different architectural decisions. Ed, let's take a minute here. I'd like to share with you and our audience some of Mark's actual comments.
Everything that we've been doing is an outgrowth of the old mainframe reporting mentality. So when I say they're outdated, I look at, you know, kind of across the board. You look at the BI tools, and basically they went from early decision support tools, which is where they got their start, you know. Then things moved away from that to where most of the work was, which was reporting. And if you look at a BI tool today, it still works like a reporting tool. You know, you specify queries, then you get the data back in a rectangle, and then you make it look pretty on the screen, but it's not substantively different than what we were doing 20 years ago. So what we're now seeing is really the augmentation for a lot of companies of what they have with new capabilities. And the moment you introduce a new capability, you introduce change. Maybe not in the disruption idea of I'm going to break everything you've got, we're going to start over, but more in the destabilizing. Wait a minute, do I do this in Hadoop, in a MapReduce job? Do I do this in Spark? Do I do this on my Teradata box? Do I do this in Informatica?
Okay.
Suddenly you have to start thinking again. You know, you have to start thinking like an architect and a designer. You have to have some level of understanding of software development again and integration. Where the old problem was, which of these five tools do I buy? The new problem becomes, where do I do the work and how do I get that work done?
This was compelling because what we are maybe going through is a case where there's required a lot of rethinking of architecture. And that could be one of many reasons why we see Hadoop moving at a certain pace. It might even be like cloud. It took, as we might have said in the past, it took a number of years for all the talk of cloud computing to turn into real industry. There's a lot of learning and unlearning to do. As he said, there's some unlearning required.
All right. Well, thanks, Jack, for taking us through all of that. Sounds like you have you've been making the rounds and making it count, hitting some interesting conferences there. So thanks for taking some time to tell us all about it. And thank you to our listeners for joining us on this edition of the Talking Data Podcast.